This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tess Vigeland. Last week on this show, we heard all about genetically modified ingredients in our food. Now, if GMOs scare you, you are probably inclined to shop at your local farmer's market. For that and plenty of other reasons, including how amazing food from that market tastes. And going locavore is also a way to help support sustainable agriculture. But it's a movement that Pierre Desrochers claims could have negative implications if taken too far. He's co-author of The Locavore's Dilemma in Praise of the 10,000-Mile Diet. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
We've been hearing a lot over the last several years about the need for us all to become locavores. This whole notion of like a 100-mile diet is what you should strive for. And I tell you that that has made me feel quite virtuous when I go to the farmer's market every week.
Well, good for you. But then you've got to ask yourself, if things were so great in the past when people had the de facto 100-mile diet, let's say 3 centuries ago, why did so many people work so hard to develop the globalized food supply chain in the first place?
Well, give us the arguments then against locavorism.
Okay, well, there are several, but let's look at the environmental dimension, which is the one that is usually put forward by a local food activist. And so the less food travels, well, obviously, the more the food is produced locally, the less we will emit greenhouse gases in the process. But what several studies have shown is that, well, the food mile is a good indicator when everything else is equal. But in the real world, not everything else is equal. So why, for example, do we import fruits, let's say apples? Where I grew up in Quebec, apples are ready to be picked in September. So what happens when you want to eat them in March or April? Well, I mean, you need to put them in cold storage for several months. This requires a lot of energy. Then you end up losing a number of apples to spoilage. But it so happens that in the southern hemisphere, be it New Zealand, Chile, Argentina, South Africa, seasons are inverted. So their summer are our winter and vice versa. So their apples are ready to be picked in many locations in March or April. So you then put them on a container ship, which is by far the most energy efficient mean humanity ever developed to move things around. A container ship floats, it uses powerful diesel engines, it burns so-called bunker fuel, so the lowest grade liquid fuel that we have. And a couple of weeks later, these apples are delivered to your local supermarket. So in the process, you've saved months and months of storage, you have almost no spoilage.
But I think part of the locavore movement and argument has been that, you know, maybe you shouldn't expect to have apples 12 months out of the year and that we should be moving more toward eating seasonally.
Okay, well, then let's go back to when people were eating seasonally, how enjoyable there was their life back then. And so in the book, for example, we discuss the diet of European agricultural workers in the early 19th century. So if you happen to be a German peasant who was living seasonally year-round, mostly around local food, you would eat peas and lentil for almost all of the year and then get a few fresh things around harvest times.
Okay, I'll admit that doesn't sound terribly exciting.
Well, but that's the thing. And over the last century, you know, things really began to change in the 19th century. And what happened over that century and a half when we stopped to eat seasonally? Well, we grew several inches as a species. We lived much longer and healthier lives. I mean, life expectancy at the turn of the 20th century was 47 years of age. We have less diseases. We don't die of many other things that are related to malnutrition.
You go so far as to call locavorism a marketing fad. I mean, it's right on the jacket of your book. You really think it's just about marketing? I mean, why not have a movement where you're supporting local farmers and, you know, even people in your neighborhood who maybe have an orange tree or something like that?
Well, the problem is that people tend to forget that famines and malnutrition historically were only really defeated for the masses when long-distance transportation came along. And so people would regularly starve because when you depend entirely or mostly on your local food supply, you will not only have good years, but a fair number of bad years. And historically, 2 bad local harvests in a row and you had a famine.
So is your argument that if we continue down this path of locavorism, that ultimately that will somehow injure the rest of the food supply industry? I mean, why not go as locally as you can and then let the rest play out?
The problem, as we see things, is that ultimately this will result in even more agricultural protectionism And this, we argue, is a really dangerous path to go down to. I mean, you might have heard the old saying that if goods don't cross borders, armies eventually will.
So me going to the farmer's market on Saturday means that what, Canada's going to invade?
Now, this means that unfortunately the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and that the extra bucks that you're spending buying lesser quality local food unfortunately will not help the earth, will not help the local economy, and is part of a broader movement which we think, carried to its logical conclusion, can be very dangerous. We're not against good quality, appropriately priced local food. We're against local food that has no other attribute than positive attributes than being local.
Can you give me an example of what that would be?
Well, again, for example, I teach at the University of Toronto, and a lot of people really hate me there because I've been vocal about not encouraging the university to buy Ontario-grown produce when we can get cheaper produce from California. Believe it or not, I've had the courage to stand up for California strawberry on my campus. We still do produce some strawberries in Ontario. But you see, but that's the thing. We can get very good quality California strawberries for about a third of the price of Ontario strawberries. So if we end up spending millions of dollars more on the food every year, that, you know, that we offer at a discount at the local cafeteria, well, that's less money for the gym, that's less money to provide more parking space or bicycle stands or things like that. So this is why we argue this is a really silly idea.
Pierre Desrochers is a co-author of The Locavore's Dilemma in Praise of the 10,000-Mile Diet. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.